I expect that the subject of tonight's message is going to be different, perhaps than what you would maybe have expected. Yes. Psalm, I haven't given it yet. Psalm 42. I'll get it. Don't rush me, Tanya. I'm going to be speaking on the subject of man and animals. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Psalm 42, verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. The animal seeks for water, in this case, literal water. And then the psalmist says, his heart seeks after God. I want you to consider this. There is a difference between man and animals. It is not uncommon for the day in which we live to read about and hear about the blurring of these lines of difference between man and animals. This should not be a surprise to us, because as man moves away from God, away from the Bible, the influences of evolution sees and considers man just a higher form in the animal kingdom. And that is not so. Man is man. Animal is animal. They do not cross over. And this is not new, but it is being taught and promoted in some different ways. Currently, it is being done by elevating animals. Now, I'm going to just give you a couple examples. If you listen to the radio, if you read in some of the public, like newspapers or magazines, we have furry children. Okay, we have furry children. An individual who doesn't have people children, but they have animals, and they're beginning to refer to them as their furry children. You say, you're making a big to-do about nothing. Well, how about this commercial? Keep your animal food next to your human food. You say, come on. There again, you're really stretching it in that sort of thing. Do you know that there's an increased attention to pet cemeteries? Oh, I know they've always existed. They're not new, I understand that. But the advertisement of headstones for your pet cemetery. Or how about this one? There'll be a funeral for my furry child, and they'll have funerals for pets. There are other examples. I didn't happen to jot them down when they come across the TV or I'd hear them on the radio. First of all, if I'm driving, it makes people, it used to make people real nervous. I had a preacher come to Grace Bible a number of times, and he would ride with me. And when a thought came to my mind, I'd whip out my paper and pencil, and I'm driving using my knee, and I'm writing my note. And he said to me, Roger, you can't do that. I said, thought I was. And then he said, you need to get one of those recorders. There used to be a little cassette recorder, mini cassette you'd put in it, okay? And you can just say it. And then when you get home, you can transcribe it. I said, that just lengthens the whole process. I'd rather write it as I think of it. I mean, listen, before there was texting, I was a hazard on the road. Hey. Yeah. People who follow me, they're certain that I had an officer pull me over one time. I'm not proud of this, but I did find it humorous. An officer pulled me over and he said, "Sir, you seemed to be weaving. Have you been drinking?" "Oh, no, I haven't been drinking." "Well, why were you weaving?" I don't remember what I answered him. It was not dishonestly, but neither did I want to get in trouble. And so he just wished me well and told me to be more careful. Escaped that one. There is a difference between man and animals. The main difference is that man has a concern for his destiny. No animal has a concept of dying. Therefore, preparation for its death does not cross its mind. Now, when the tire first hits it, that squirrel knows this is not good, okay? But that's the extent of it, okay? You've looked in the mirror sometimes and you see him flip over and run off. Sometimes you look in the mirror and you see it flipping over and over and over. Animals do not have a concept of dying. God gave animals instincts that he didn't give to human beings. But he gave humans spiritual insights and revelation that he didn't give to animals. One man explained it this way, and I quote, "A bee can build a six-sided cell in the honeycomb. Beavers can build a dam. Spiders can build a web. But a spider can't build a six-sided cell. And bees can't build a dam. Each has been given its own instincts for its survival." Now, these instincts, man doesn't have instincts. But man knows he is here for more than survival. Turn, if you will, to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse 11. "God has set eternity in man's heart." I've heard it said already that it's like there is a missing puzzle piece in man. And the shape of that puzzle piece is God. Animals don't have that. All right, Ecclesiastes 3:11. "He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." God has put himself into man's life, and man may not understand. The native who lives in the jungle along the Amazon River, he does not understand all that's taking place. And he lives in a very instinctive world in the sense that survival is what he exists for. But at the same time, he knows there's something more. Hence, he creates an idol and he worships it. Why? Because there's something more than the animal that he kills. I heard this, I couldn't tell you how many years ago, possibly in the first 5 years of my ministry. There was a native, a member of a tribe in a jungle setting. I don't even remember anymore if it was an African jungle, a South American jungle, or where it was. But that native who worshiped his idols was not satisfied. And so he left his tribe and traveled to the tribe next to him. And there he inquired regarding their gods, not finding satisfaction. He then did something unusual. He traveled to the tribe beyond that one. Same inquiry. Same thing. Did not find answers. And then he did the unthinkable. He went three tribes away. I mean, you just didn't do that. You just didn't have that kind of interaction. They were your enemies. But he went to them and he asked of their gods and he inquired of them about their gods and again found no satisfaction until the missionary came. And the missionary heard his inquiry and he told him about God Jehovah, Jesus Christ. And that man found what he was looking for. Amen. You say, that's unbelievable. No, it happened. You can believe it. Okay? And the missionary told it, who experienced it. And it is on that basis that God can hold every man accountable, for if he will search, God will reveal himself. Amen. It's just that most are satisfied to believe the lie and to practice what they're believing. Now, the responsibility, I've heard it said, is not on the native. The responsibility is on the Christians. For it is our task to see that the word, God's word, gets to the world. We are remiss in that matter. Oh, I could go many directions with that statement, but I cannot. It's not the purpose of my message. Let's get back to the animals. We are not mere animals. Wonderful as they are for their purpose and in their place, and the companionship of a dog or a cat can be very enjoyable. I've even had some hamsters that were neat at times, okay? I had a parakeet that I liked. I had a black and white cat that when we first got married, no children yet, and a black and white cat, very, very friendly. And it would sit on my shoulder, perch, if you please, on my shoulder. And when I would go walking, now we lived in the country at the time, but we would go to the city where you had to go to get certain things. And I'd take the cat, put it on my shoulder, walked down the street, and there was that cat sitting so majestically. Pat said to me, "The people better pay as much attention to my first child as they do to that cat." I'm happy to tell you they did. So animals have a place. They serve a purpose. But they are not equal to a man. They are an animal. Turn, if you will, to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image," us, the Trinity. Let us. God isn't saying it to angels, because we weren't made in the likeness of angels.
That's right.
He's saying it to the Trinity. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Okay, so man is made in the likeness of God. Now, I'll go into that some more, but for now, just leave it at that. We're made in the image of God. Look at the rest of that verse. And let them, that is the man that God made, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Man is to have dominion over animals. They are made for our intention and purpose. Now, God, in another passage of Scripture, states that we are to treat the creation of his animals in kindness. My memory's in heaven. She knows the reference. Because when I said something unkindly about an animal, she quoted that Bible verse to me. Yeah. I have a lot of memories. And God made animals for a purpose. And we are not to be given to the mistreatment of animals. Understand that. When I say that man and animals are different and each has their own place, that does not mean that therefore because man has dominion over the animal, he can mistreat it. No, the Bible teaches otherwise. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now as you read on and you read about the animals, as we did in verse 26, you don't read ever anywhere that animals were created in the image of God. They were created for the needs of man. We are born and given a capacity to crave God. God is spirit. Only man has a spirit. Read it all you want, okay? And you'll not read about man or an animal having the spirit like God is. Now, there's a place in Ecclesiastes says the spirit of man goeth upward and the spirit of the animal goeth downward, meaning to the grave. In other words, not the spirit. It doesn't say the spirit of that animal that goes downward was created in the image of God. And no, it's just saying that what is an animal, what it is that causes it to be friendly, what it is that causes it to give you a comfort and help. I was in Walmart the other day, and I'm surprised how many service dogs, you know, as soon as they opened up the doors to service dogs, everybody needs a service dog. And I have my own opinion of that, and you might guess what it is. You know, the baby seats, they're for babies, not for little dogs. Anyway, I was in the where the medical stuff is, not the pharmacy, but the other across the counter stuff. And there was an individual with a dog. Now, I don't know what the need of the person was, okay? If indeed they needed that dog, if it was perhaps truly a service dog. And I was just about ready in my mind to think, why in the world don't they leave their dog at home in the doghouse? And then I heard a mother answer a child's question about the dog. And it caught me up short. The mother said, well, sweetheart, sometimes dogs can sense things that other people can't. And so if its owner were to have a physical need and it might fall into that physical need, maybe so as to pass out or something. Dogs can often sense that when other people can't. And therefore, that dog could be helping its owner. Yeah, that's true. It didn't fit into my thinking, but that's true. So, I learned a lesson in being patient. In being a little maybe kinder than I was about to be. Okay, so you understand, when I say that man and animals are not the same, I am not ready to haul off to euthanasia all of the animals that are on the planet. You understand? All right, just so we got that cleared, I don't want you going home and saying Pastor Hain hates animals. that would be a misrepresentation. Now, John chapter 4 and verse 24, when I was going over these notes for tonight, I said, turn to John chapter 24. And then I realized, no, that's the verse. There aren't 24 chapters. Are there? How many chapters are there in John? 21. Okay, I didn't think there were 24. Oh, man. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Animals do not worship God. I don't care how loving they are. I don't care how much encouragement they give a person. I don't care how many good things can be said about it. They do not worship God. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. As creator, God has a relationship to animals as his creation. And that's why he says that we are not to mistreat them. But it is not on a spirit level. Animals were not created in the image of God. I don't think anybody here would dispute that. I sure hope not. In Genesis, going back to the first book of the Bible, to chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Genesis 2, 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God breathed into the nostrils the breath of life. Now, when he created animals, they were created with life, but he didn't breathe into their nostrils. Why? Because the relationship he has with his creation, man, is unique and distinct from that of which he had with animals, another part of God's creation. And so this makes us different from animals. God breathed into us life. When he created animals, they had life. That was part of his creating them. But it didn't come about by his breathing into their nostrils. With our body, we're created in the image of God, body, soul, and spirit. With our body, we know the world beneath us, that is the earth on which we live. With our soul, we know the world around us. We can feel, we can sense matters, we can appreciate things, the soulishness of man. But with our spirit, we know the world above us, the realm of God, the eternal. And that's because he has revealed to us himself. Oh, there's much more that we would like to know. There's much more that the curiousness of our mind desires to have insight to, but he has given to us what we need. No more, no less. And it is for us to learn. In Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 24, the last scripture that I give tonight. Ephesians 4 and verse 24, where the Apostle Paul says, by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and that ye put on the new man. We've been saved. We've been born again. We have a new man. We're no longer subservient to the old man unless we yield to him. And he says, put on the new man, which after God, see, the old man was created by God to seek God, to know God. And now the new man, which after God is created in what? Righteousness and true holiness. Man and animals are not the same.
Right.
Animals don't know righteousness and holiness. Some animals, some dogs, are much friendlier than others. Some cats even can be friendly when they want to be, okay? And so, but it's not righteousness. Animals don't know righteousness, and certainly they don't know holiness. That is given to you and I, and for which we can be thankful. Father, thank you for giving to us the relationship that you have. Thank you for creating us in the manner that you have. Help us, Father, to never blur these lines. Help us to keep both the place of man and the place of animals in order, in agreement with what your word teaches us. To this end, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.